Hey everybody, what's up? I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from Your Black World and the Black Business School. I am here in Houston, where I'm going to speak on Thursday at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. You can buy tickets at drboycehouston.com. We're trying to do a world tour like Tribe Called Quest, and our goal is really very simple. We want to spread the gospel of Black economic empowerment. We want to give people information that will change their lives. We want you on a different trajectory. We want you to go from feeling that the world is kicking you in the butt to feeling that you have the ability to shape your own destiny, period, straight up. These are things that I've studied for a long time. And now that I've crammed all this information in my head about financial literacy and wealth building and all this other stuff, I want to share it. So I hope you'll come out. Every venue so far has been packed out. Chicago packed out, Atlanta packed out, Louisville packed out. So it looks like people are excited, and we're in the middle of a Black economic revolution. And I'm taking this. We're taking the ball all the way to the rack, so to speak. We're all the way to the end zone. You know, we're not going to stop. And I really think that this is our generation's opportunity to make a difference that will be discussed, that will be talked about for the next 400 years. I really believe that. Now I want to hit on something real quick that I just feel like was worthy of addressing publicly, just so that people know where I stand. You know me, I just tell you what's on my mind, you know, whether people like it or not, good or bad. And and I appreciate you hearing me out on this. I saw this interesting little thing between Tariq Nasheed and Yvette Carnell. And if you know anything about me, you know that I talk about Tariq all the time in class. I talk about Hidden Colors and the fact that he is, in my opinion, the most successful independent Black filmmaker in the country. The only other person that I think might be in that same space is Byron Allen, who's maybe made more money. But Byron, if he's independent, like I think he is, then, you know, I mean, there's nothing like it. That to me is where the Black Hollywood is emerging. Tariq's success with his films has been extraordinary because, you know, I'll tell you this, a lot of people think that he must have been backed by a white man because only a white man can make a Black man that successful, and his film, you know, but that's not true. You know, Tariq did it himself. He's a brilliant guy. When he came up to my house, I'm actually in Hidden Colors 4, and when he came to my house, we talked shop about just, you know, what his process was and distribution and everything else. And I was thoroughly impressed. I mean, it really pushed me to say, okay, when we do our films, here's some things we can step our game up on. Because, you know, we have Resurrecting Black Wall Street, the blueprint that's out as well by Dorian Chandler. Then we're going to put out the Melanin Code in the next year or so. We're all trying to be a part of this, you know. And it's exciting to me because this is a chance. This is one of the few opportunities where Black men get a chance to be kings. As I've always told you, Black man, if you want to be a king, you got to learn how to build your own castle, because the white man's not going to invite you into his castle and make you the king. He will invite you into his castle to make you a servant, or maybe make you a court jester where you're there for his entertainment, meaning he'll ask you to rap for him, dance for him, sing for him, dribble a basketball for him, or throw a football for him. And when he's done with you, he will chew you up and spit you out. You know, but if you learn how to build castles via entrepreneurship, things like that, then you could be the king of your own castle. You know, Tariq is not a person that in many cases would get that much validation from white America. I know I wouldn't. I wouldn't, because I was pretty much blackballed from white universities because I was so outspoken about racism. But because we were able to carve our own path through entrepreneurship, we've been able to experience the rewards that come from hard work. If you want to call it prestige or whatever you want to call it, the pride, family pride that comes from achieving your goals, because our people support us. And it's a matter of having faith in your people. And I have a lot of faith in Black people. And I want to say thank you to those who've supported us to this point. Now, anyway, going back to the point at hand, I want to describe my relationship with Tariq to lay a context to what I was about to discuss. And to also say, I just texted Tariq. I can show you a text message he just sent me in the last 30 seconds, literally, because I texted him as soon as I saw, you know, he had some issues with Yvette Carnell. I just texted him and said, hey, man, I'm going to be in L.A. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's hang out. Dame Dash and I are going to invite him on to Intelligent Boss Moves so he can get his point of view out. I would even like to actually share his video on this channel, because I think all those points of view need to be out there. Now, let's go to the other side of that discussion. He had a lot to say about Yvette Carnell. Now, he said things about me, but honestly, I don't take it personally because I can speak for me, and you know, and I don't think there's any point in me saying, oh, you're wrong and that's not right. Da, da, da. I can only set the record straight and tell you what's on my mind because I don't believe in making things up and hiding stuff. But anyway, Yvette Carnell, I will say this, and I've said it 1,000 times. I love Yvette Carnell. I really do. Yvette has been someone I've admired since 2010 when I saw her articles that she was writing, and we just started working together with Your Black World. She sent me an article, asked me to share it, and then I invited her to join our platform. And I don't regret it one bit. Yvette and I do not see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. But you know what? That actually makes, in my opinion, I think that makes the platform better. Because I know Yvette's very smart. And one thing that we don't have as much in this country anymore is we don't have the ability to respect the views of smart people who disagree with us. We tend to fall into a way of thinking where we presume that because you disagree with me, you must be an idiot, an asshole, or whatever. And I don't think that way. And it might be from my scholarly background. I really bought into this, which is kind of a myth in academia, this idea of intellectual freedom and freedom of speech. I bought into this idea that you know, sometimes the greatest thinkers among us are people who say things that are very unpopular. If you go back, you look at Albert Einstein, he said a lot of stuff back in the day that was very unpopular about war, about race. He really talked extensively about how black people were treated in America and how that looks to him as a man from another country, and that didn't win him any friends. He talked about war and how he regretted helping to do the mathematics that led to the creation of the atomic bomb. So you look at Dr. King. When he died, he was very unpopular. A lot of people called him a hater and a liar and a piece of crap and this. But in fact, if you did surveys right before Dr. King died amongst white and black people, you would find that the majority of those people did not like him. They did not agree with him. So what I want to encourage you to just understand is that when you're speaking your truth and you're doing your best to speak the truth, you're not always going to get an applause for it. You know, people are not always going to stand up and say, we love you. They might not cheer for you till you're dead. And so that's why you got to get your validation from inside. So anyway, so with Yvette Carnell, Yvette and I don't agree on a lot of stuff. That does not bother me. I don't take it personally because I know she loves me as a human being. I love her as a human being. A couple areas where we clashed. We clashed on Umar Johnson, believe it or not. I've always been a big fan of Umar, even when I disagreed with him. Even when I challenged him about what he was doing with that money, I didn't like it. And I don't like certain things about how Umar does business. But even to this day, people get really confused because they think I'm going to say something nasty about him. But everything I say about him is usually pretty positive because I think Umar is one of the greatest orators in our society today. Umar is one of the most effective leaders that we have in our society right now. And if anything, the reason I'm so concerned about some of the insecurities I've seen, you know, where you're blocking people off your Facebook page because they said something you didn't like, the reason I'm concerned about that is because it could end up becoming a waste of talent. You know, if you alienate the whole world, brother, you can't build what you're trying to build. You cannot alienate everybody. That's not going to work. You know, and If there's any frustration I've expressed with him, it's mainly because I'm thinking, man, this guy, he can do it all. I mean, there's so many things he can accomplish, and I just hope that he kind of gets it together and understands a balanced style of leadership. To me, a good example of really balanced leadership, believe it or not, two people, and you're gonna laugh when I say both of these names. The first name you won't laugh about, Louis Farrakhan. Minister Farrakhan, and again, he's older and he's wiser. He's like a grandfather to me. I look at him as a grandfather figure. Him and Claude Anderson. When I talk to them both, I feel like I'm talking to my grandfathers. Minister Farrakhan is a person who has always said things that were unpopular. He has always he's always been action oriented. He has always had an unbelievable capacity to forgive his enemies. And to work with people who have different points of view and to not make them feel like something's wrong with them because they think a certain way. But yet at the same time, still being able to say what's on his mind. And I just think that's admirable. In fact, when I went to talk to the minister about what Yvette said about him. Because I said, oh, I said, Yvette said all this. We need to have a face-to-face because I need to make sure he knows that's Yvette's opinion. That's not mine. You know, he was as gracious as you could be. There was not one word or body motion, eye movement. And there was nothing on any level that signified to me that in any way he was upset with her for expressing her opinion as a human being, as a black woman. And I just, I'm very observant. I'll watch every little thing about you because I'll be thinking, okay, you're saying this, but are you doing that? Or are you saying this, but your legs are twitching? You know, like all these things. I didn't see any of that. It was as smooth and as secure as you could possibly be. And if anything, I wish Umar could learn from that. You know, what I really saw was a man who was very strong and very proud, but his ego had been extracted from all of that. Ego throws men off. Ego makes powerful men realize how powerful they are, and sometimes that power can draw you into a form of narcissism where you feel that you just get to write the rules as you go along. Anybody who doesn't agree with you, you shut them down. You know, you ridicule that person. And I don't think that's, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get in my share of fights because I'm not as mature as Farrakhan. But at the same time, if you want to look at something that I admire and think is a good trajectory to be on as a leader, I think Farrakhan is the best black leader in America that we have right now. So a couple times where things popped off that were interesting was one with Umar, where Maria Lloyd went on my channel, and I share my channel with the people on my channel. I encouraged specifically the women to speak up, because in our community, whether we like it or not, we need to acknowledge this. We don't let black women speak. Think about this. Why is it that when we think about our most prominent black leaders, most of them are men? We don't invite women to the table. We call them names. We diss them. We ridicule them. We tell them to shut up. And I just think that's wrong. I mean, don't give me. But here's the funny thing. This is what puts me in an awkward, weird position, is that I don't like feminism, at least not the way it's been executed in America. I think that white feminists hate black men more than anybody else. When I'm around a white feminist, a lot of times I feel like she looks at me like I'm some kind of caveman, simply because I believe in family, or I believe in, you know, some shape of gender roles that stabilize families. So I don't hang out with white feminists. A lot of black feminists, Kirsten Westervale, Tariq mentioned them in a video he did. Kirsten Westervale, I specifically told Kirsten, don't talk to me ever again. I don't want to talk to you. Shireen Ball, I didn't tell her that. I was actually nicer to Shireen, because I think Shireen was, you know, even though her view is kind of distorted, I don't agree with it. I still, you know, felt like, well, maybe if she sees that I'm not this horrible beast that she's trying to make me into, maybe she'll see things differently. And I think she saw that. I really do. Even though she has a right to express her point of view. So feminism, I don't feel, has been good for black America, at least not the way it's been executed. Obviously, equality matters, womanism matters, family matters. But to me, when you get into this competition between men and women, where everybody wants to wear the pants, everybody wants to be the dude, everybody wants to have a pair of balls hanging from their body, I'm not a fan of that. That doesn't work for me. You know, I don't believe a man should go through life saying, I want to do everything a woman does. I don't believe a woman should go through life saying, I want to do everything a man does. Well, I mean, if I get married, I don't want to marry another guy. I want to marry a woman. And there are things, and I tell this to my daughters, there are things about womanhood that make you powerful without you comparing yourself to a man. You shouldn't have to try to be a man to prove that you're equal to men. You're competing in the game. That's like a football player trying to be the best basketball player he can be. He's meant to play football. You know, be good at that. You understand the power of being a great NFL player, and don't stop thinking that you got to be in the NBA. So, long story short, the whole feminism thing, I can't stomach most of it. It bothers me because it does come off sometimes as emotional selfishness. I think the abortion conversation is very problematic, not because I believe, you know, people don't have the right to choose, but don't talk to me about aborting and killing a baby as if it's like getting a tooth pulled. No. You're ending a human being's life. So that's if you want to know my views on those sorts of things, that's how I feel. It doesn't mean you can't do it. Doesn't mean I'm gonna hate you because you did it. But don't talk about that baby as if they're precious when they're born, but they don't mean anything when they're inside the woman's stomach. So those are conclusions I came to without political interference. You see, because what happens is we get into these political camps and these tribes, and we start saying, oh, I'm a Democrat, so all Republicans are racist and horrible, or I'm a Republican, all Democrats want, they just want free stuff, and they're all hippies and socialists, and, you know, and I think, I don't think it's healthy. I think even in the conscious community, when you have people that really believe everything ever done by any black person anywhere was perfect, and everything ever done by any white person anywhere was evil, I don't buy into that. Although I do speak directly, you've heard me many times speak on the extreme evil of European history and Eurocentric thinking, and how this barbaric behavior was built out of what I believe was the Dark Ages, when Europeans were pretty much killing each other left and right. They started killing black people, slaughtering black people in mass, because they've been doing that to each other for a long time. So I think that I encourage people just to think, you know, try to be a critical thinker. What does that mean to me? Being a critical thinker means that you don't have a monopoly on the truth. You're usually better off by listening to people who don't agree with you. If all you do is listen to people who agree with you, then you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. That's like a basketball player who can only dribble with his right arm, who refuses to dribble with his left, and will only focus on getting better at dribbling with his right arm. He's going to keep getting better for a while, but then he's going to peak. There's going to be certain moves he will not be able to make because he does not have the ability to go left. So all of his opponents, all they do is they block off his right, and they can shut him down every time. So if all you know how to do is go right, or all you know how to do is go left, then people will know how to shut you down every time, because you won't have flexibility in your ability to analyze something. So let me finish up on this issue with Tariq and Yvette and all this other stuff. First and foremost, I'm just be transparent. When I text Tariq, I said, I told him, you know, I saw the video, and I said it was a good video. I mean, because I think it's what it was. I mean, Tariq's a smart guy. He's really funny and interesting to watch. And I said, when I come to LA, let's sit down, let's just talk and hang out. Also, I invited him to come on the show with me and Dame Dash, the Intelligent Boss Move show. And then I asked if I could share his video, because I want it on my channel. And because the other thing too is that with Yvette, my position with Yvette has been, okay, you know, I don't agree with you on some of the stuff you're saying, you know, because she went after Umar, she went after Farrakhan, she went after Tariq. But I did tell her, I said, you've got to defend your point of view. You know, I said, look, if these guys come back and they come back hard, or anybody that supports them comes back hard, you need to be ready for that. You can't, you know, and Yvette knows this, you know, you can't, you know, I mean, Tariq made an interesting point where he said that, you know, you can't throw a shot at somebody and then play the victim when they throw shots back at you. And I agree. I mean, I think that if you make a position and make a point, you got to be willing to defend it. But if you want to know how I operate my channel, and I've had people give me hell about this, and I guess those people have a right to go elsewhere if they'd like to, and that's fine. But you're going to hear diverse voices. You're going to hear from black women, because I love my daughters. I love my sister. I love my mother, my grandmother. In case you're wondering about like wives and a wife or something like that, I chose not to get married, but I was engaged to a beautiful, wonderful woman many years ago. It just didn't work out. But I have respect for women. I grew up with that respect, and that's not going to change, you know. And if somebody thinks that's a punk move, well, you need to learn what a punk really is. You know, you ain't no man if you run around feeling like you got to disrespect women to confirm your manhood. That's some bitch shit right there. You know, a real man understands that women deserve to be respected. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you have to take any nonsense that comes out of a woman's mouth either. Because that's the other thing. Some people take that thing too far. And I've challenged Mark on My Hill, who I still consider to be a friend. I still like Mark. But I've told him, I said, you know, man, you sound more like a feminist than some of these white women do. Why are you saying this stuff? I mean, you know, you're a black man. You should be speaking to support your brothers too, but I don't really see that as much. I see you kind of saying things for people that are going to get you on TV or get you more money or whatever, and I'm not cool with that. You know, just be yourself, you know. So anyway, I don't know, Mark probably get mad at me for saying that, you know, but Mark and I, we've been I guess we've always had this little weird frenemy thing going on for a long time, but I love him though. I mean, I respect him, because Mark was one of the most ambitious like young scholars I ever saw. I still remember the first conversation we ever had in 2007, and I remember I gave him some advice. He asked for advice. A lot of people ask for advice on how to have people know who you are, stuff like that, and how to get your work out there. And I gave him some advice, and I said, well, I can't do it for you, but I can tell you what I think you should do." And he ran with it. I mean, he ran with it, and he's done an awesome job doing what he does. But we don't see eye to eye. If Mark and I are talking about almost any most topics, we're gonna disagree. You know, I almost feel like sometimes I feel like Mark is a little bit of a what is it? Almost like a textbook liberal. You know, with being a liberal, there's just certain ways of kind of looking at almost every issue, from gay rights to immigration to you know, to race issues, to you know, feminism, etc. And in some areas I agree with liberals, but in some areas I don't. And so that's why you always tell me, or you always hear me say that I don't align myself with any politician, because I can't get in that liberal or conservative box. I never will. So anyway, that's it. So I just wanted to say that that's my official position on Tariq and Yvette and freedom of speech and all that. I believe black women should have a voice. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And everything that people say on my channel, a lot of times I don't even know what they said. I just pick people where I trust their ability to speak. And by the way, I told you earlier that there were two types of leadership that I actually saw that really impressed me. And I told you, you're going to laugh about the second one. The second one actually was Russell Simmons. And I'll tell you why. And I know Russell, I've had conversations with Russell, like especially with the Harriet Tubman sex tape. I said, brother, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I can't, you know, I can only be objective about this. And I think you were wrong on this, but I admire the fact that he apologized for it. But at the same time, you know, it's like, I don't know what was going on with that. But anyway, with Russell, here's why I respect Russell's leadership. For years, I was a critic of Russell's, and to this day, if something happens and I don't agree with it, I'll say it. When I met him, I thought he would react to me the way a lot of people react when you criticize them, which is, you know, to kind of do the Umar Johnson and shut you down. They don't want to talk to you. They just tell you to go away. They block you on Facebook, stuff like that. And actually, Russell embraced me. He was very open. You know, he's very just, it was almost like he didn't even care about the criticism. He was like, let's deal with this mass incarceration thing. So we did our campaign in 2013, where we wrote our letter to President Obama, asking him to address mass incarceration, particularly of black men, and the effect it's had on black families. And I worked with Russell largely because I saw he was effective in helping thousands of people get out of prison by helping to modify the Rockefeller drug laws in New York. So I worked with him on this campaign, not really knowing what to expect. I usually come in with a very skeptical eye. Until you show me that you're serious, I don't know if you are. And he was dead serious. He brought every ounce of his weight in terms of pulling in celebrities to help this campaign. Now, I went after all the scholars and the activists and the few celebrities I knew, but Russell kind of knows everybody. And he got Will and Jada, he got Jamie Foxx, he even got some white celebrities like the Justin Biebers, and even Kim Kardashian's name was on the list. I don't roll with Kim Kardashian, but she, you know, I mean, and all these blacks, you know, Jennifer Hudson, all these people to co-sign this letter we wrote to the president, and it made a difference. That next week, Attorney General Eric Holder made an unprecedented statement about mass incarceration that changed the whole conversation on incarceration. Now there's a greater awareness on mass incarceration, largely because of that campaign. And so I can't speak on it. I mean, I'm not going to be a person that's just going to speak on the bad things Russell did without giving him credit for the fact that he gave everything to this incarceration campaign. I saw him lose friends over this, because in case you want to know why black people got screwed in the last 8 years, it's because the Obama administration has been bullying celebrities. They've been telling them, hey, you know what, if you stand up for black people, we're not going to invite you to the White House. You won't get to go to the party and take a picture with the president. And a lot of these Negroes fell for that. The Steve Harvey types, the Tom Joyners fell for that. And I'm not attacking these guys. You can call it what you want, but that's what happened. The Al Sharptons fell for that. Russell Simmons got ejected from the in crowd because he used his power for the good of black people. Now, again, you can weigh that against some of the other stuff that's happened that doesn't make any sense, but you gotta be honest. You gotta tell the truth. And that's it. All I say is let's just tell the truth, period. So if you wanna know if I have hard feelings toward Tariq, the answer is no. Never have, never will. Tariq's brilliant. I'm glad to be in Hidden Colors 4. I think he's admirable. He actually came to my class. He actually came and spoke to my students. If you want to know if I'm ever gonna throw Yvette Carnell to the side of the road, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm loyal. I respect my people. I love them. And Yvette, as long as she's willing to defend her point of view, she can say it. But one thing I want you to understand right now, and just know this, whether you agree or not, I do not speak for, nor do I speak through, the people that come on my channel. I don't know what they say until after they said it. And that was a rule I made for myself. I mean, what kind of man would I be if I'm giving a voice to women, but I'm telling the women what to say? Well, that's not a woman's voice. That's a man's voice. So, and it's a man's voice going through women. So I specifically made a rule for myself that they could say what they wanted, even if they didn't like me. In fact, Ben Dixon actually did a video where he told me he was talking about how I was wrong about something. And I was like, great, I want that up there too, because I want all opinions on the table, because my goal is not to lead you. My goal is to teach you to be your own leader. It's to support you in being your own greatest black leader. And that's the best thing I can do for you, is to tell you to think for yourself. And in fact, there are a lot of people who are threatened by the idea of black people thinking for themselves. We even went with voting. People are like, well, you should be telling people to vote. I'm like, no, I'm going to tell people to think for themselves. So I also want them to read W.E.B. Du Bois's article that says why I will not vote. And if they conclude still at the end that they should vote, then they should. But if they think that, hey, I'm not going to do this, then they shouldn't. I'm not, you know, don't let these people control your brain. That's silly. I mean, if I can be an advisor to you, or a provider of information to you, or an inspiration to you, or a mentor for you, or maybe some sort of a guide for you, I accept that wholeheartedly. But I'm not a cult leader. I'm not seeking to be a cult leader. That's not beneficial to anybody. So anyway, that's it. I'm about to get out of here. And by the way, I have to tell you this before I go. Don't forget, we're on tour. We're going to be in Houston on Thursday at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and you can buy tickets at drboycehouston.com. We're also going to be in Baltimore on April 28th, and we're an inch away from confirming Kansas City on April 23rd. So if you live in KC Mo or KCK, I hope that you will come out. We don't have the venue yet, though. We're trying to get a place called the Gym, but I guess maybe I wasn't supposed to tell you that, but it's okay. I just told you, but we don't have it yet. So once we get it, I'll let you know. So thank you guys for your support, and I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace.